Log Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality. Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Button, push that button, move this over here, move this over there. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I am your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle, Teacher, and most importantly, Student of the Universe. Thank you and welcome to Reality Spirituality. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for finding the show. Oh, thank you for your questions. I get questions all the time, and some of them are not easy to answer. I really appreciate every single one of you. If you want to speak with me live, you can do it two ways. The number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And if you are listening to this on Wisdom, you can just ask to join the talk. 626-564-9619 and or just ask to request to join. Woo-wee! Holiday season. Oh, yes. So right off the bat, listen, let me ask you this question. Does the holiday season make you feel, and when I say make you feel, I'm not talking about your thoughts. I'm talking about your energy. I'm talking about your vibration. Does the holiday season affect your vibration in any way, meaning do you get excited during the season? Yay, holidays are coming, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whee! Or do you feel drained? Or are you neutral? So that's a question only you can answer. And sometimes it's different feelings, different energy, different times. So this show is going to be specifically about holidays and the obligation surrounding the holidays, the obligations. And I just want to share, I will share with you, this whole holiday season, obligation expectations, has been a full has been such an evolution for yours truly. I mean, from starting off to the holidays were so important in my family. It was such a big deal from Easter to Christmas to 4th of July to birthdays to New Year's. Every single holiday carried along with it so much, so much expectation. If it was a birthday, there were countless amount of expectations I had, not to even mention Christmas. So the whole evolution of the holiday season for me has come full circle from holidays being one of the most important times in my life to it's just another day. And I really mean that when I say it's just another day. The programming, I was filled with what to expect on a certain holiday, how to feel on a certain holiday, what others quote unquote made me feel or didn't make me feel. It was just so much. It was very, very, very heavy during holidays. Looking forward to them all the time, but the expectations, and I'm going to have to say, I was thinking about when I was younger. Well, when I was younger, that doesn't count because Santa Claus was real in my family. Santa Claus was real, and Santa Claus never disappointed. However, when I got to a point where, what do you mean there isn't a Santa Claus? That's when the obligations and the expectations started for me. But before I go on with that topic, I get a lot of questions, and so I just want to share especially with the new people, the new listeners, what the show is about. Who the hell is Rebecca L. Norrington, happiness specialist? How the nerve of her. Let me just be very clear when I talk about being happy. When I say happiness, it's more than this happened and now I'm happy. It's nothing to do with what happens. This happiness that I'm talking about is a state of mind. It's a vibration. It's an energy. It's a foundation. It becomes your identity. So this happiness is an energy of peace, an energy of feeling content, an energy of vibing, feeling satisfied, being satisfied. And let me share with you my definition of happiness. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. My definition of happiness is internal. It is an internal state of being, and it is constant. It is not. It does not waver with an incident, with a circumstance. It is foundational. You are rooted foundationally in this vibration of contentment. Happiness is the state of mind you were born into before all the programming, before all the conditioning, before all the brainwashing. But the good news is happiness is a practice skill. Huh? It is a practice skill, and with that, it depends on how important happiness is in your life. And when I talk about happiness, let me be very clear. It is a vibration. I said that already, but I really want to be clear. It is a vibration. It is an energy. So only you can answer this question on a scale from 1 to 10. How important is happiness in your own life from 1 to 10? I get a variety of answers, anywhere from 6 to 10. It always makes me chuckle when people say 6. Well, you know, I'll give it a 7 as far as importance, or maybe a 6. It used to bother me, but now it just makes me smile. So everybody's different, and that comes from accepting that everybody doesn't think happiness is number one. And again, I'm talking about an energy. So the question I'm asking you is, what is your definition of happiness? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Is it wavering? Is it there sometimes? Is it there all the time? What is your energy? Let me just be very clear, because I get a lot of the same questions. I just want to just share really what I mean when I say happiness. It is a state of being. It is a state in mind. It is a vibration rooted in contentment and peace in every waking moment. So I'm going to ask you, answer either yes or no. Can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame other people for how you feel? Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? This practice, the one that I'm sharing, has nothing to do with anyone else. It has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has nothing to do with what other people do and or say. the programming, the illusion that someone else can make you feel or make your circumstances or make those circumstances make you feel a certain way is just that, an illusion. I know, I get pushback on it all the time. But that's okay. That's okay. Let me just go into a little bit more with this happiness. And it's not about accomplishing. Happiness is not an accomplishment. It is an ongoing practice that becomes easier and easier and easier. And where is the practice done? Well, that's the hard part. That's the catch. That's the Achilles heel. All the practice is done. Oh, let me tease you a little bit. Let me just say this. When I teach the classes, it's called The Truth About Happiness, I always give everyone in the class a gift. And this is an actual object. And I wrap it up really nice in some cute little paper, wrapping paper, and I hand it to them and I say, In this package is the answer to all of your challenges, to all of your problems for the rest of your life. Can anybody out there guess what's in the package? Again, if you want to speak with me live, the number here to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And or on Wisdom, you can just ask to join the talk. And I see that there is one guest waiting, and I will get to you in a couple of minutes, I promise. Hang in there. The holiday season. Oh, I didn't even answer the question. I just left the hanging question out there. You got to keep me honest. You know how I can just go off on a tangent. Okay, what's in the package? What's in the package that's going to be the answer to all of your problems and challenges for the rest of your life? A lot of you out there know the answer already. The answer is a mirror. And that's why this practice is not that easy. That's why this practice is doesn't feel good all the time. That's why this practice isn't practiced by the masses. That's right, I said it. It's not easy to look in the mirror and say, wow, you mean I'm responsible? You mean I need to do something different? You mean I need to change? You know that song by Michael Jackson, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Yes. It starts with the person in the mirror. It doesn't start with anyone else. And asking someone and assigning someone else a duty, how they need to talk to you, how they need to communicate with you, all and on and on and on and on, it doesn't start with them. It starts with the person in the mirror. And that's why this work is so is very challenging. It's not easy. But I'm here to tell you, I have both my hands up in the air. The rewards are more peace than you could ever imagine. And more peace than you could ever imagine when you're going through the most challenging times in life. What are the most challenging times? Relationships, health, financial, job. Come on, we know the most challenging times. And that's what I'm saying. And this practice is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And one of the things that before I get onto today's topic about holidays and obligation and expectations, I'm going to ask you out there, my dear audience, are you the person or are you a person that obligates other people to attend parties, to attend dinners, to attend functions, or are you the person that feels obligated to attend dinners and functions? Or are you just flowing through all of it? Are you just in the moment, in the present moment? And, yeah, you feel it during the time or you feel like attending or you don't. So let me just back up because I started off with holiday seasons and how important and how embedded and how rooted they were in my my identity. Oh, if I didn't get a birthday card, a birthday wish, a birthday acknowledgement from someone that I knew that knew when it was my birthday, are you kidding me? It was war. And I'm talking about in my younger days. But younger meaning teens, 20s. I was definitely indoctrinated into that holiday season, holiday time, dinners, whether I felt like going to someone's dinner or not. I had to go. And when I talk about holidays, this is an individual, this is not a group talk, this is an individual discerning whether or not, that's why I ask, if you feel energized by holidays, holiday season, do you feel drained? I mean, I've read that it's can be the most depressing times in someone's life is going through the holiday season. So how are you, how do you feel? And it has nothing to do with anyone else. How do you feel during that season? And part of the heaviness comes from, I'm going to speak just speaking for myself, part of the heaviness comes from having expectations. Expectations of what the day is going to look like, expectation of how the day is going to how the day is going to roll out, how the day is going to feel, how the day is going to I was the word I was looking for. I was looking for unfold and I couldn't find it for anything. How is the day going to unfold? And I don't know about you, but the majority of my life, I had major, tons and tons of expectations, especially with others and especially just with the day. And when I got to a point where this happiness, you know, happiness is the practice skill in the practice, I learned that everybody, that this holiday season is not only was not only challenging for me, it was challenging for a lot of people. And so what is the solution? There are some people that are okay and fine with being alone on the holiday. Any holiday, from birthdays to Thanksgiving, from Christmas to New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, it doesn't matter. Pick a holiday. Some people are okay with being by themselves and being alone. But what is the programming? Is the programming accepting of that? Is the programming saying that gather around, gather with people, where's your family? I mean, just adds to the pressure, adds to the stress, adds to the obligation of what it's supposed to look like on a holiday. And that's really where the suffering comes from. What a holiday is supposed to look like, what a holiday is supposed to feel like, what are you supposed to do on the holiday, on and on and on and on. Is anybody with me on this? Of course you are. Of course. And if you're not, that's okay too. I'm just speaking to those people that it's okay not to feel obligated to go to any dinner. And if there are people that, let's see, how do I say this? Okay, if there are people that you feel, maybe feel a little guilty by, a little more obligation by, no obligation from, know that it's not them. The only stress, the only pressure, the only obligation, all the expectations, they come from the person in the mirror. We can blame it on someone else, blame it on a family member, blame it on parents that want you to be there at the dinner, but it really comes from self, whether or not you're honest with yourself and whether or not you're honest with others. And I'm going to share a personal story. I have an only son. And this young man, even though my intention was to make the holidays fun with the, you know, I passed down that Santa Claus, making the holidays fun, especially as a child. But for some reason, this is unique to him, he feels a lot of obligation during the holidays, whether or not to spend it with family, friends. I'm going to throw in on his father's side. Family, friends. And he finally said that, I don't like the holiday season. What do I do about it? I can't wait till it's over. I can't wait till it's over. And one of the solutions that we came up with, because I'm a mom now that you don't even need to call me. You don't need to call me on my birthday. You don't need to send me a card. You don't need to say Happy Thanksgiving. You don't need to say Merry Christmas. None of it. We've gotten rid of all obligations in our little family. You're not obligated to call me. You're not able to send me a Christmas card. You're not able, not obligated to do anything for me. It's just another day. And the solution that we came up with is working. Doesn't that sound crazy? Working on a holiday. And this kid, who's not a kid anymore, loved it. Great idea, working. Not a lot of people like to work on holidays. That's why it's easy to do. A lot of people call in sick on a holiday. My point is this. This is an individual, unique situation for you. I'm going to be different than you. And so my point is for you to find what is peaceful for you. Not what's peaceful for you and your family. What's peaceful for you. And then it's my responsibility to communicate that with any family member. So I'll give you an example. Hi, my sister Jerry. Thank you for your invitation for dinner on Thanksgiving. I love you. I love seeing your family. I'm feeling like I want to have a meditation day, or I'm feeling like I want to hibernate day, or I just want to fill in the blank. It's up to you to be honest with self, and then it's up to you to be honest with others that, you know what, I love you, but I'm just not feeling the dinner this year. Can we have dinner on Wednesday? You know, the interesting thing, I know I'm jumping around. I was actually talking to an exercise instructor yesterday, and she was telling me, we were talking about, you know, of course, the program, how was your Thanksgiving, you know, 3 days later, which is neither here nor there. No judgment, just witnessing. How was your Thanksgiving? And what she mentioned was that her children, I think she has three, and she's an elderly lady. She's in her 80s, and she said, her children got sick. Her children had COVID, so they weren't able to have Thanksgiving together. They had Thanksgiving. Oh, they're having Thanksgiving today on Sunday. And this is what she said to me after that. She says, but it doesn't feel the same. But it doesn't feel the same. And that's what I'm talking about, this programming of Thanksgiving on a certain day. Throw in any other holiday you want to throw in, from birthday to Christmas. Throw it all in. That there's got to be a certain feeling behind it. There's an expectation behind the day. There's a And where does this expectation and this feeling and obligation come from? Let me see. Hold on a second. I have somebody waiting. Okay. Thank you. Let me just check this. Okay. Guest is joining. Thank you for your, thank you so much for your patience, Hakeem. I really appreciate it because I was just going on and on and on. But anyway, thank you for joining. And what are your comments or observations that you would like to share?
Good morning, afternoon, and night, everyone. Holidays, you know, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You asked to talk. What do you mean you don't know?
I've been waiting here to listen to you. I don't have anything to add to that. I just kind of gloss through them. It doesn't matter to me. It's not special. The days aren't special. It's just a bunch of crazy people to me freaking out for no reason about trying to get stuff done on a certain time and a certain day, and they're just stressing themselves out. And it's like, to me, I'm thinking, why are you doing this to yourself? That's what I think about it. I think, what is going on? How did this happen to you? It's just like a mass. You know, these people they call crazy doctors that say that like this guy on Joe Rogan, they said talk about mass formation psychosis. That's what this is. It's a mass formation hypnosis. It's just like how people feel obligated to buy diamonds and spend 2 months of their salary on a ring that was manufactured by De Beers, you know, or like this whole mentality where all of this stuff like it doesn't feel the same. Like why? What's going on here? Like, how are you letting, you know what I speak about often? It's the same thing when people say, bless you, when someone sneezes. It's like, why are you doing that? Who told you that you have to do that? And then when someone does it, you ever been in a room and someone sneezes, and you don't say bless you, and they get upset, especially slowly getting uncomfortable and twisting inside themselves? Why? Why, please? And I'm a little bit more, you know, I'm a little bit more naughty than you about it, I think. I mean, I'm not very nice about it.
No, you're not. I can... No.
My way to be me.
Hold on a second. No, you're not very nice. I can feel you. It's not that you're not very nice, but you're very serious about this topic. I can feel you. I can feel you. And trust me, I'm not nice all the time, honey. I got the mean streak that I have, too. But I love that you're saying why. You know why. Because of the programming. We've all been programmed.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I have a, you know, yes, I have training in programming too. So the thing is that here's the thing, and I think you mentioned this earlier, but something similar. But when my family, growing up, my parents made a huge deal out of ours. So it was always a party with lots of food and lots of gifts and special clothes and music and different aromas and candles and lights and trees and turkeys and whatever went with it. But as soon as I left, I was just done with it. It just didn't, I don't even, my birthday, I didn't even celebrate my birthday. I actually, a couple of years ago, wrote an article on one of my websites called Sword Paper. It was called Ghosting the Holy Day. And it was because there was an event, an incident, where once I was at home reading a new book that I got, and my friend John called me and said, hey, you want to come over and hang out? And I said, not really today, John. I just got a new book, and I'm in my new recliner, and I'm reading my book. Come on, man. You got to come on out. You got to get out. Come and hang out. Why, John? What's the problem? Come on, man. You got to come hang out. Whoops. It's your birthday. Oh, yeah, well, I got a book, and I'm reading my book. That's what I want to do. He's like, well, I'm already on my way. I'm just coming to you. Really? How did you? What? Oh, okay. Comes over to my house. Picks me up. I go to his house. It's like 30 people. Surprise. Everybody, I know this is a jerk move, but within 15 minutes, I disappeared. I ghosted them. I could not do it anymore. I felt like I was forced to do something when all I really wanted to do was read my book. Now, suffice it to say, I know I have 30 seconds left, but that I didn't ever speak to any of those people again.
Well, you know, I would like you to come up again if you have time, because I really would love to talk about this again. Now you just hit something that is really not talked about, not usually, and I really want to address it if you have time to come back up.
Sure.
Okay. Perfect. Well, okay. So he just said, let's see. Hold on a second. Let me bring it back up again. Wow. What? Now we're about to get into some real stuff here. Real stuff. And thank you, Hakeem, for sharing that very powerful story. So he talked about it was his birthday. He didn't want to go anywhere. His friend said, "Come on, let's go." And whose fault was that when you went to that party with your friend, or went wherever you went with your friend?
It was my fault because I went there.
Okay. And you see, my dear audience, this young man is saying, "Yeah, it's all on me." It is. It was his fault for doing that. But when I say your fault, I'm just saying that's where the responsibility is. Okay, so please go on with your story. You said you never talked. You left in 15 minutes, and then what happened?
Oh, my gosh, all this stuff is actually in the article. I can't believe I even put that in there. So, wow. So I put, many unanswered phone calls ensued from confused partygoers concerned for my whereabouts.
Mm.
Most of those people never spoke to me again. I don't remember caring. I was more frustrated that people didn't bother to consider that I was enjoying being at home with my book. Birthdays, holy days, and holidays are not part of my usual scope of awareness unless someone takes the time to personally let me know it is important to them. It is not just that. I do not consider that I am of any value to other people unless they tell me so. I would rather just stay out of your way. And I go on to say, I'm silent when people sneeze. But so that's the thing. Like, it was my fault to go there, to even agree. I could have said, look, man, you're being a jerk. Why are you forcing yourself into my...
Well. Let me say this.
You came over to my place.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this because we're making them the vilifying them, making him a jerk. He's not a jerk. He's just being himself. And really, the one of the things about these program people is they're doing the best that they can in any moment, as we all are doing the best we can in any moment. And really, his intention and all that, the agenda, was really to, in his mind, was to celebrate your birthday. And that was in his mind. So I wouldn't say that they were a jerk. However, the interesting thing about people that want someone else to do something, because I just left the Thanksgiving dinner, and I would love for you to come up again, too. I just left the Thanksgiving dinner two days ago, and I was minding my own business. It was probably a group of maybe 30-plus people, and I was having a great time watching the Patriots game. Well, at this one particular moment, the host of the dinner shut everything down, the television down, taking the plates out of people's hands. We're going to have a meeting. I mean, this is a group of 30-plus people. We're all meeting, and I want everybody to talk about what they're grateful for, because in this particular house, they hadn't gotten together with a group for 2 years. I mean, they obeyed the pandemic lockdown. Don't group together. Don't have big gatherings. I didn't do any of that, but this particular family didn't. So they hadn't been in this group for 2 years, and they really wanted to celebrate and really wanted to share with each one of them. This is what the host said. I want each one of you to share individually what you're thankful for, especially over the last 2 years, and what you learned during the lockdown. Now, when I heard that, number one, she actually took the remote out of my hand and paused it, and she said, and I said, well, can we just keep can I just watch it with the sound down? No, I'm pausing it, and you'll not miss anything. Well, I know when I feel like you said, and I would love for you to come back, Hakeem, if you feel inspired. I said to myself, I got this, just like you, Hakeem, I got this this sense. I can sense when I'm trying to be, when people are trying to control me or criticize, or especially the controlling. And your girl wasn't having any of it. And so when the first person started speaking, and I'll let you back in, and the first person started speaking, and of course that lasted, the first person probably 8 minutes, 8 minutes of talking. And I said to myself, and I think I said it to this person next to me, I said, this is going to be an hour and a half if everybody's going to speak. The other thing, too, is always leave yourself, this is me, always leave yourself an escape route. And one of the cars was parked behind me. So right off the bat, you got to make sure that you're able to get your car out and go and make a quick getaway. Am I right, Hakeem?
You're right. Fortunately, I often ride a bicycle or walk, and so I was able to easily just pop out of there and jump into the next bus that came by and
I love
it. Sit on my recliner.
You know what? I just love this story. And so what I did, I just asked one of the ladies that was parked behind me, I said, can I have your keys? Are you leaving now? I said, I don't know, but I need to be able to make a quick escape. And I moved her car, got my car and back, went back in the house, got my keys, and I left too. I left the Thanksgiving dinner right in the middle of them telling everybody what they're thankful for. I'm out of there. But I did go ahead. But I did send a text to two of the people, and I said I had to leave. There was another gathering. Love all of you. Goodbye.
Yeah, I've also now built up, like, a lot of people know that they don't even contact me on my birthday. Because now I won't even respond for the most part. I've actually trained everybody how to treat me, and it's not that I'm upset about the hotline. Like, I really don't get mad about it. It's just that I'm like, why are you doing this? Right? Like, I understand. Like, I know why. I know why it's broken. This is rhetorical. It's just people. Haven't you known me for all these years? You know, when my wife was around, I would celebrate her birthday because it was special to her, because she had that feeling. I would celebrate whatever she wanted to. If I heard her mention something, and because I knew that it was important to her, I would do that. But she wasn't into any of those holidays. It was just her birthday. It was the only one. And so I celebrated that, and she felt so special. The last video I have of her actually is on her birthday in 2018, and she looks so happy that I surprised her for her birthday, and she looks so special, has this smug look, it's just so beautiful. Wow. But that is, you know, something different than this, you know, mass obligation making craziness that people are under the spell of and will fight you about and get mad at me about. But, oh, it's so special. It's like, but this whole thing about it doesn't feel the same because it wasn't on that day. Thanksgiving is not on the same day of the year, people. It's around the same day. Sometimes it's anywhere between the 24th and the 28th. It's like it's the last Thursday of the month. You know, this whole thing. I mean, I remember totally, it had nothing to do with any holidays or birthday or anything. She wanted a camera, so I spent like $5,000 on getting her camera. Before that, we spent a month in Orlando going to Universal Studios and Disney World with VIP passes so we didn't have to wait in line. Before that, we stayed at a resort hotel on the beach for 2 months just because I wanted to have her, give her experiences. There was no special occasion except she was special.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see her happy.
Well, you know, first of all, you know that anything that you did doesn't make anyone happy. You already know that. But I totally get what you're saying. What you're describing is that loving someone and doing what they think is important, what they think is special. I totally get it, and now I'm getting chills because I understand exactly where you're coming from. But one of the things that I can feel about you is, and I would love for you to come back if you have time, but one of the things I feel about you is that you said, come on, people, what are you nuts? What are you, crazy? You're a herd animal. What, you're following a program, and I get it. But there's I don't feel any acceptance of these people that are programmed. I don't feel that. And one of the things that I had to practice is accepting these people. And when I say accepting these people, I'm not saying it, oh, I'm better than them, and it's not about being better, it's just about being different. We are all different as our fingerprints, and so the acceptance of the program, the acceptance of these people, the acceptance of their sleepwalking, the acceptance that they... That,
I find that what? To be rather unnecessary because you
oh.
don't have a choice
ah.
to accept it or not. It's just there. It's, the acceptance is embedded in it. Are you going to live in the world or not? Because, I mean, you just have to. It's just like anything else. Like, you know, if someone passes away or dies, gets killed, what do? You give up or you continue on. You don't want to sometimes. But so with people and all of their wonderful frailties that I and everyone else has, and one of them being that... People are very, very much programmed by so many things that are imposed on them from the outside.
Mm.
You know, like I have my own things, too, that people that are like holidays that people will probably find unnerving or like I'm programmed to do it. I have an obsession with reading a lot. I have to read or else I feel like I'm going to lose myself. I have to go into books and learn and at least think I understand something new. I like to play around with concepts in science that maybe I don't fully understand, but I like to theorize and play around and blend all these wonderful physical and metaphysical, normal and paranormal, natural and supernatural, whatever it is, all over the spectrum, religious and atheist, agnostic, all these ideas I like to play around with, divination tools and measuring tools. Like whatever it is, that's what I like to do. I like to ride my bike everywhere and take walks. I like to go outside and play in the rain until all of my clothes and shoes and everything are soaked all the way through. I just, you know, but I like to go for walks alone in the woods and get lost in the dark. You know, that's crazy. What do you do? Oh, my God, you went traveling? I can't believe you lived in what country for how many years? You did what? You know, it's just like... You know, the thing is, what's really interesting, too, is in China, when I was over there, people don't say bless you when you sneeze. You know, another interesting thing, see, all these are just human conventions. This is what I already realized, and I just understand that, and I have for some time, I don't know why, but that it's made up and that you don't have to if you don't want to. Like people, if I say 666 right now, a lot of people are, oh, my gosh, it's the number of the beast. You know, Revelation says that you lack understanding, know the number of the beast versus the number of a man. Right? But in China, they constantly say, if I do something really cool, they'll be like, Leo, Leo, Leo. So Leo, like E-U. So E-R sounds so cool. Leo, Leo 6. And they say 666 when they think something's awesome. Leo, Leo, Leo. You say it over here, 666. People are like, oh, my God, it's the devil. Right? So... It's obvious. Just if anybody travels, or if you go from one part of the country to another, that these things are made up by people. And for people to feel bad about them, in my opinion, is a ridiculous notion, when at least to me, I don't know about anybody else, that it's obvious that this is all programmed. Like the whole, you got to get your mom flowers for Mother's Day like 2 weeks ahead of time, and all these flower companies, 1-800-Flowers, and this and that, and all that stuff. It's just, if you want to buy somebody flowers, buy the flowers.
Well, let me just say this. And you're right about everything that you're talking about. You're absolutely right. The programming is deep, I'm just feeling a little bit different. And what I would say is, you said that there's nothing that you can't help but doing is to accept these people or accept people. And I can feel you. But are you accepting them with a smile? I know it sounds kind of wacky. Are you accepting them with a smile, or are you accepting them with a grimace?
I'm neither one. It just has to be done. Like I'm accepting with whatever mood I happen to be at the time.
Okay.
They're not affecting my mood. It's just whatever. So okay, that's how you are. I mean, a guy who I rent a space from for my business sent me a message with like a turkey or something like that, and I was just like, all right. I was like, happy Thanksgiving.
Well, let me see this. Well. I would really like to ask you what makes you laugh, Hakeem. What makes you laugh? I'm going to pull you up again. I'm going to pull you up again for a second. I'm feeling you, and I understand everything that you're saying, and then I'll get to the other guests. I'm feeling you, and I'm understanding everything that you're saying. I'm just, you know, I get what you're saying about reading. You got to read. Do you feel that same way, and this is either yes or no, about laughter?
Yeah, I mean, I laugh all the time.
Okay, all right.
People just goofy things that people say that just every day. I mean, just a few moments ago I was laughing listening to a couple of other people talk about Curtis J and how he changed his name on here and his avatar and called himself Tony Kudos. And it has a picture of like one of Al Pacino from like Godfather, Goodfellas, or something like that.
Mm.
And people were just laughing about it. And just talking to people. Like, my brother just called me because he's going to help me go pick up another bicycle and take it to the Trek shop. And you know, we have this ongoing running joke about using the word bro. So you know, like it's just bro everything. You know, like, hey, what's up, bro. Excuse me.
Bless you.
I say something like, that's a good sneeze, but I think you can do better next time.
That's so funny.
I say stuff like that. Yeah. Just to play around. But yes, I laugh a lot about stuff. I can laugh at so many things that I do. I laugh at even a lot of the talks that I give on here about whatever it is, the whole time, I think so many things are hilarious. I was in a death metal band for many, many years, and I still do projects now. Like, I just recorded a demo not too long ago, but I think it's hilarious. I'm not serious about any of that crazy
stuff. Okay.
For the most part, there's some things that are personal, but when I was in the band at first, and the lead guitar player said to me, we got to write lyrics and do stuff so shocking that we get on the news, because and so we did that stuff, and I realized, like, yeah, these people really are worshiping the devil and all this other stuff. They just want to shock people, and I said, this is hilarious. And so whenever I would listen to the lyrics of all these crazy bands, whether they might be serious or not, I just thought it was funny. And I think that so many things are funny. I've been a martial artist and had so many fights, like, you know, 129 fights, and I think that's hilarious. I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious when people talk crap before the fight and try to do all this, like, posturing and everything like that. And I think it's – some things just make me laugh in general. I think children, how they're so bold and they have no filter sometimes, are hilarious. I think that some of the stuff that people say that people respect so highly are funny, like how Stephen Hawking, one of his books, was making fun of and ridiculing, like, bioelectricity.
That.
I'm like, dude, you're using it to run your wheelchair. Like,
okay,
it,
okay.
It,
all right, Akeem.
So,
Well, I you know, and I had to ask you that because I mean I'm not feeling any funny from you. I wasn't feeling funny from you. I was feeling more serious from you, and I'm glad that you shared that because I wasn't feeling funny. I was feeling serious energy.
Well, you know, I woke up 3 hours ago, and I still am not fully awake for some reason. I don't know. I have a strange headache. It might be from, I don't know what it is.
Try a hammer. Try a hammer to the side of the head.
Yes, I'm going to do that. Can I use a nail as well?
No, don't use a nail. That might hurt.
I'm in good spirits about most of everything that I do because I live a very free and, you know, blessed life. I pretty much just do whatever I want to do for the most part. And my only drive is just to be able to acquire more resources to be able to do more and more of the things that I want to do and have more freedom and share that with people. So,
well, I appreciate you and I really appreciate your time and I love your perspective and I love that there's another person on the planet that could care less about holidays and meaning that the programming and what you talked about is very it's eye opening for why is everybody doing the same thing on the same day? Why
I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you so much. I really appreciate you so much. Why is everybody marching in step? Why is everybody eating the same thing? Even that, I'm going to throw in going to a funeral. Why is it going to, because we talked about this last week, going to a funeral, you're wearing the same clothes, you're sad, you're solemn, you're silent. My purpose and my sharing is just to be aware of your beliefs and where did they come from? Where did they come from? And know that, and if it is a program, is that program serving you in any way? And if it's not, whatever you learned, you can unlearn. One of the things that I just wanted to share this before I go to the next guest that's waiting, program behaviors that subtract from inner peace and happiness. There is actually a list. There's more than, how many are on this list? Hold on a second. Oh, gee, I'm up to 44. I'm up to 44 things. These are program behaviors that have been proven to subtract from inner peace and happiness. And what are they? Let me just share. So the question that you're going to ask yourself is, are you ready to put a spotlight on the programming? And the first part of the practice, when I say happiness is the practice skill, the first part of the practice is to expose and gradually eliminate all of those behaviors that have been programmed to subtract from your happiness. And what are some of them? What are some of the 44? Number one is blaming anyone or anything for the way you feel. You know, one of the things I talked to Hakeem about, and I asked him, I said, so when you went to that birthday celebration and you found out it was a surprise and you left after 15 minutes, I said, who do you blame for that? Do you notice that he said right away that was my fault? It always comes back to us. But see, that's the power. That's how powerful we are. We make choices in every single moment, leaving a party not going to a party, and you know, there's no reason to explain yourself either. And if somebody says that they love you, and if they claim to care about you, they won't need an excuse. They won't need an explanation. What about I just didn't feel like it? What about I wasn't feeling it? How about I wasn't inspired to? Is that a good enough explanation for you, especially to someone that you say, I love them? My only son, I only have one, my only son, he doesn't need to call me on any particular day. There is absolutely zero obligation as a parent that I'm putting on that boy. Why would I? I don't want, and let me be very clear, obligation for elderly people and obligation for children. I got that part. But an adult, an obligation, I'm obligated to call somebody on their birthday. And one of the other things that Hakeem said that I really liked, but I didn't talk about it when we were chatting one-on-one, is he said, I train people how to treat me. I train people how to treat me. I love that, and I do the same exact thing. And it's the smallest things, meaning if you text me, don't expect to text back right away. Text may come the next day. Text may come 3 days later. And if you call me, don't expect me to answer the phone just because you're calling. Oops. Let me just share with you some of the program behaviors, and then we're going to wrap up the show. And then I have another guest waiting on wisdom, and then we're going to wrap up the show. Some of the program behaviors that subtract from inner peace and happiness, blaming anyone for how you feel, comparing yourself to anyone else. This is going to be a tough one, and this is one, I really get a lot of hate mail on this one. Giving power to words. I would really like Hakeem's perspective on that, giving power to words. Because I claim words, not claim, words innately don't have any power. The other thing that subtracts from your peace and your happiness, another program behavior, is noticing what someone else is doing. Talking negatively about what someone else is doing. That subtracts from your peace and your contentment and your happiness. Talking negatively about what someone else is doing. Thinking anything is serious, thinking anything is important, including that the majority of people are programmed is not serious, is not important. It is, but I'm not putting any serious energy on it. Thinking money can buy inner peace or happiness, that's an easy one. How about this one? Wanting someone else to think what you think is important is important. Let me say that again. Wanting someone else to think what you think is important is important. Sharing bad news, having an expectation, especially around the holiday seasons, all expectations subtract from your peace. Living in the past, living in the future, having a preference, resisting what is, trying to control anyone or anything outside of yourself. This is an easy one, complaining. Especially complaining about something that you don't have any control over. Politics, 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 politics. Did I say that out loud? Getting embarrassed. There's only one reason why people get embarrassed, and that's because they care about what someone else thinks. Taking anything personally. Worrying. How many of you out there are worrying? That's not normal. You know how many times I've heard, oh, that's normal. Well, it's natural. You're human. It's normal. No, it's not. Worrying is a program, something that you learned, either from mom, from dad, or anybody else. But worrying is a program. And worrying, all it is, all worrying means is that there's a lack of trust. Let me let this, there's another guest waiting. Jillian, thank you for your patience, Jillian. Let's see, I'll do this. Jillian, thank you so much for your patience. Assigning a label to anything also subtracts from your happiness. Hi, Jillian. And then let me, yes.
Hi, this is Rose.
Hi.
This is a new concept that I didn't even realize that I actually held. So my dad's birthday was November 16th, and I forgot to call him, and the next day I was like, oh, my God, I didn't call my dad on his birthday, and I was like, he always calls me on my birthday. That's one of his things. He thinks it's important, and I was like, you know what? That's okay. If he really wanted me to call him, he could have been like, hey, I wanted to talk to you on my birthday, right? And so I didn't beat myself up because because I didn't call my dad on his birthday because that's a program response,
mm-hmm.
right? Like anytime somebody on Thanksgiving, I have a lot of people at my work, a lot of friends, they were like, happy Thanksgiving, and I'm like, do they really mean it? Do they really mean it? Is it just because it's that day they just like, they feel like they're obligated, right? But I mean, I still took it, and I was like, at least they're thinking of me. You know, I thought of it in a positive light, but I do question the program things that we do, like the God bless you, the polite things that like society has told us that this is how you're supposed to operate.
Well, let me share with you. What happens on Friday? What happens on every Friday? Hey, what are you doing on the weekend? What do you got, any plans for the weekend? What happens on Monday? How was your weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's really, and what happens is it's about being self-aware, being conscious enough to pause before you even make a statement, before you even start
mm-hmm.
talking. What is your intention? What is your agenda? So it's really a conscious decision, a conscious choice to choose
mm-hmm.
why, what are you saying, and why are you saying it?
Yes, and I agree with you. I ask people what their weekend was because I genuinely care. Because I've had so many people in my career where it's a check in the box, right? I have to do this because I need to appear like I care.
No. Asking me how my weekend was doesn't mean that you care. I mean, I know it sounds nice, but that doesn't mean that you care. It means that you're just repeating a programmed response. How about, I mean, that's my perspective.
Okay.
So caring is behavior. It's words, at least for me. I mean, you say you care about me. Those are nice words, but what's your behavior? I'm just really trying to get rid of the programming.
Mm-hmm. So is there something we should do instead of asking how someone's weekend went? I'm just using it as an example.
Well, let me just share this with you. And thank you so much for your openness, Jillian. I never use the word should ever. I use a lot of different words. I use a lot of expletives, but I never use the word should, and I never use the word mistake. There's nothing I should do, but there's something that I – but. Nothing I should do, only what I'm inspired to do. And there are no mistakes in the universe, so there are no mistakes. At least these are my perspectives. But one of the things that you said, which was really, let's see. Oh, this is what I practice. This is my practice. I don't talk about yesterday. Why am I remembering what I did? Today is Sunday. Why am I even talking about Saturday? What's the point?
Yes. Why should we keep bringing up the past? Let's think about being present in the moment.
Yeah.
Think about the now.
Yes. So the question, and please come up again if you have time. And so the question is, how are you vibrating? How are you vibrating in this moment? I'm not gonna ask anybody what they did 3 days ago. And quite frankly, it irritates me to no end if somebody asks me. But no, you just, when I say irritate, I'm using it in tongue in cheek. But what I say is I don't remember. I say in the present moment, I don't remember. That's my answer.
And it's truthful. You're saying to your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what you believe Yes, and also agree with you on the should statements. My therapist told me about should statements, and I love that.
But you've used it twice already.
Yes, I guess what I...
Come back. I'm going to ask her what that movie is from. I mean, what that saying is from. I wonder if she knows what that saying is from. Or anybody. Here we go. I'm going to give my best performance. Come back. What is that from? What movie is that from?
Say again?
Come back.
Oh, I can't off the top of my head tell you right now. I'm going to be honest with you.
Come back. It's from Titanic.
Yes, that track. I really couldn't remember.
Yeah, yeah. It is very big. I mean, and she was whispering, and I'm thinking, talk louder. Can you talk louder, please?
Yes.
Can you blow on that whistle a little bit louder? Jesus, what the hell? They're going to miss you.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So since we're talking about shit statements, I guess in my mind, the way my therapist had talked to me about, like, when you put should statements on somebody, like, someone should do this for me, and you don't tell them about it, right? You're making rules that they know nothing about, right? And that's not right. But I guess the way I thought of it in another way is, like, somebody should pay their taxes, you know, or, like, things that, you know what I'm saying? But maybe I need to reframe myself on that.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm listening to you, you have a lot of stories and you have a lot of thoughts and you're very active. Your mind is very, very active. And the whole thing about the should is just a word that, for me, this is just my perspective, it's a word that is it's heavy. It's also a program what I should be doing, and it is when I say heavy, not in an uplifting way, it is, God, this is what I should be doing, not what I am doing, should. It's just another program by the ego.
I agree with you on that. Yes. Well, I should be doing this, and then you beat yourself up because you're not doing the laundry, you're not cleaning your house, or, you know, whatever it may be.
And the only thing that requires any action in my life is just what I'm inspired to do. If I'm sitting here and I see a sink full of dishes, if I'm not inspired to wash those dishes, guess what, my dear Jillian? I'm not washing them, and I'm not going to feel bad about it either. See, the ego is very, very, what does it want more than anything else? It wants attention. It wants focus. It wants you to identify with it. It's a storyteller. It's a liar. It's never content. It's depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse to give it any kind of time or focus. Now, sometimes it slips in, has a little day out in the sun, just skipping around to give you a little time. But for the most part, no, I keep it on a very tight leash.
And I think that's very wise to do so.
It's a practice. It's a practice.
It's conscious practice that you get these, you know, programmed thoughts. I've always heard the first thing that you think is a program, and then when you challenge that, it's what you actually think. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. So even your energy shifted during this call. I can tell your energy shifted from the beginning to now. So a question to you. What are some of your – give me a challenge that you're having, if you want to share.
A challenge of mine that I've been very open on here is boundaries. Is enforcing them for myself. That's a challenge that I have.
Meaning that you're not good with saying no, no thank you?
Yes. Yes, it's hard for me to say no. A lot of times I overextend myself. I've been getting better.
So are you one of those people pleasers?
Yes, and I know it's not good.
No. Let's start from the very beginning, and I want you to come back. No. The people-pleaser thing, right off the bat, how about an acceptance of it,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to it's not good? See, before all any kind of change or any kind of growth starts, at least this is my perspective, it starts with acceptance of whatever the challenge is.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say acceptance, I mean full-on acceptance and thank you for this challenge, universe.
Yes. Yes, I try to live in reality. I do try to accept this is what's going on. This is who I am. And you evaluate yourself. It's like, I accept that this is something I do. I have made some strides.
Come back. I want you to come back.
Yes.
this is good. We're getting really good. We're getting good here. We're talking some good shit here. Now we're talking some good stuff. I love it when people come on and share. I mean, that's how I learn. That's how I grow with, because I say that we're more alike than we are different. And I love pulling back the curtains. What's behind the curtains? Let's get really deep and talk about this stuff. Okay, go, Jillian. You're talking about people pleasing and how have you, because I heard you said, oh, I know that's bad. No. That's a program. No, it's not. Wherever you are, meet yourself wherever you are. Acceptance, put those arms around self, and let's go.
Yes. So what I was saying before my time ended was that I've accepted that this is an aspect of myself that I want to improve. And I have made strides, but it's something I'm still working on. I guess that's what I'm just trying to say.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. And so this is let me just throw this out too. I'm not up here running around thinking I got everything down. No, but what I do know is that certain how growth happens, when growth happens, the shift. Honey, I just go outside, palms up in the air, and ask the universe, hey. How do I let go of, let me just give an example. How do I let go of, let me give an example of one of my challenges. How do I let go of, thinking I'm not doing enough. How do I let go of, I haven't finished. You know, I've been writing this second book for almost 4 years. How do I let go of being critical of myself for not finishing the book? I ask all those how do I let go of being a people pleaser? How do I let go? You just list whatever, hands up, and you let it go. And with time and with patience and with trust and with surrendering, guess what happens? Growth happens, and you don't even know how it happens. So my point is, there's nothing that you need to try to do.
I love that. That's so beautiful. Because a lot of times we put shoulds on ourselves. We put shoulds on ourselves, and what you're saying is we need to let it come to us?
It will come to you. Growth comes to you when you are open and when you are whenever you're ready, universe, I have both of my arms out. Whenever you're ready, universe, how do I? And this being patient, that's another program. The programming is being impatient. Being patient with growth, let me, a quick example I remember. This was years ago, and I came from a house where you had to be productive. You had to get something done. You couldn't just sit around all day and watch TV. I would get in trouble. I mean, you got to be productive. I got a lot of, you're lazy when I was growing up. You're lazy. You're not doing your best. You're not living to your potential. All of that. I got a lot of that. And so on the days on a Friday or Saturday, I remember Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I didn't leave the house. I watched TV. And, of course, when Monday came around or Sunday night, guess what? I felt like shit. I felt like crap about myself. I felt horrible, the self-criticism, all of that. And the universe says, well, they talked to me. And they said, well, we want you to sit on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, watch TV, and feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do I do that, universe? How does that happen? How am I going to feel good about that? Well, next weekend, I'm not saying every weekend in a row, but guess how long it took me to feel good about not doing anything? How long did it take me to feel good about sitting down Friday, Saturday, Sunday watching TV? How long did that take?
I would say years.
That's right, 2 years.
Mm.
2 years. And so, but the programming is, now, where is the growth now? Where is the difference now?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about being patient with the process of growth.
Mm-hmm. And I'm being patient with, practicing something, setting boundaries and practicing that. Do you want me to come back on?
Yes, I would love to, because I want to talk about these boundaries now.
know.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love this one. I love this one. Oh, now I'm getting chills. I love this one. Yes. Now, see what Jillian just did? Now, this is real life, reality spirituality. And this wonderful young woman said, oh, no. and my body got all chilled up because I get chills whenever someone speaks the truth or I speak the truth and I'm talking about universal truth. And I started smiling because the oh, no's is exactly where I need to go. The oh, no's is exactly where you need to go. Now we're coming up with a new one. The oh, no's is exactly where you need to go. Speak it with me, Jillian. Jillian,
yes.
The oh, no's is exactly where I need to go.
Yes!
Yes. Ah!
Yes. And I had to put a little bit of humor, right, in there.
Yes.
I put a struggle that no one wants to talk about the struggles. No one wants to be vulnerable. But that's how you grow. That's how you change. And that's when asking someone this is their wheelhouse, I'm all about it. Let's go.
Yes. Oh, chill. And, oh, no, that's where you need to go. Okay, so let's talk about it. Now, boundaries. You know, the whole thing about boundaries, no. How about, see, the thing about especially these people pleasers, they care more about other people than they do about their own peace.
Mm-hmm.
Am I on or off?
Oh, no, I was like, yes, that's true.
Okay. So, go ahead.
To the realization that I have my inner peace, again, filling up your own cup and putting those knows the next opportunity for somebody else. Like, you're still going to help them, but you're not going to help that. You're not going to at the detriment of your peace.
How about helping yourself first?
Yes.
And also this, you know, the programming is it's really interesting. The ego tries to hide itself by doing good deeds. Oh, I'm helping them. I'm doing something for them. I mean, the ego is very tricky with its disguises. Very tricky. And so the interesting thing about what does the universe do to cause, create peace? And there's one thing that I know of, and it's called putting distance.
Mm.
Putting distance. No words, no conversation, no talking, just distance. And instead of saying no, I like to say, no, thank you. I mean, it's very difficult for people to no, thank you. Hey, would you like to? No, thank you. Well, why not? Just not feeling it, just not inspired to. But that no, thank you is really a nice one.
It is. But not this time. I can't. And without saying sorry, because then you're, you know, that's another thing. I've gotten better on saying sorry for things I shouldn't be sorry for.
I hate the sorries. I'm sorry. I hate it. And I hate it because it doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't even do anything. It's just like, have a nice day.
Mm-hmm. Have a nice day. Or when you're passing someone in the hallway and they're like, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. It's not real. It's just a program that people say.
Exactly.
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. You're like, are you really doing good? You want to talk about it or sit down? And when I was in German class, we actually learned about, in the German culture, they only ask you how you're doing if they're going to sit down and actually hear what you have to say. And I loved that.
I love that too. I love that. So I want you to come back and share with the audience, if you're inspired, what are you practicing with the boundaries now? What is your practice now?
I will definitely do that. I want to. How am I putting boundaries in place now? I can definitely do that for you, ma'am.
And then also, why are you needing to put boundaries in?
Yes, I'm definitely feeling. I've been feeling drained, and I've learned a lot. I'll come right back.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, why is there a need to have boundaries in the first place? And the reason why I'm asking that is, let me do this. Okay, I'm getting pretty good with this wisdom and also this Blog Talk Radio combination. Okay, why the need for boundaries?
And I'm willing to figure out how people can talk. Why the need for boundaries? Yes, when I had almost like no boundaries and putting up, I was feeling drained. I didn't have peace. And being in the Marine Corps, there are a lot of things that you don't have control over.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say no to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess as a young 19-year-old, I'm 26 now, but as a young 19-year-old, I was like, I just accepted. I guess I just can't have boundaries of any type. Because of certain things I don't have control over. But I've learned when to put in boundaries and when to put in things. For instance, a good example was I had a Marine who he was going to go on leave or something, and he asked me, oh, can you cover this billet for me? And I said yes at one point, even though I had too much going on. I overextended myself. And when he asked me again, I said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said I'm sorry, but, I declined you asking, but I will find somebody else who can do it for you. I'm not going to leave you hanging, but in my own peace, I cannot do this again for you. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so much joy after doing that. And I was like, this is a win. I'm making progress. Be able to say no thank you.
Yes.
To that.
And the other thing, this is just outside looking in, and the next time you say that, they can find their own person to take over.
Yeah. That again, I met them halfway,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to. I could say, I can't do this for you. You're on your own.
Okay, and now you just described being in the military, but you're not in the military anymore, correct?
No, I still am. I have a few months left.
Okay. So, but outside of the military, because that's very understandable, you know, you're supposed to follow rules and regulations, but outside of the military is really what I'm talking about. How do you have people that you need to have boundaries outside of the military? How do you have those people in your life that you need to have boundaries with?
And that's my next conquest.
Oh.
I'm hilarious. I've been in the Marine Corps for 7 years now, and that's something I was like, wow, this is something I know I'm working on, but how will I now apply this for when I get out? What does that look like for me in a civilian world, in a civilian sector? And at putting boundaries with my own family,
yeah.
I guess the way I do it is I keep a lot of stuff to myself. I don't tell them everything.
Number one, that's perfect. The thing that, yeah, really, seriously, especially expressing yourself and expressing stories with other people, and especially if they're programmed and they aren't conscious and they aren't self-aware, it's just a recipe for drama.
Mm-hmm. It is, and I know one thing my mom was very good at. I'm very good at respecting other people's boundaries.
Uh-huh.
Like my mom, I'd say something, and one thing I remember, I can't remember what I would be saying, but she's like, oh, we're not going there. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to push it.
And there you go. And so it's really the ability to recognize your audience and to move move in circles where you are compatible energy with others. So you're either compatible energy or you're not. Nothing's wrong with them. Nothing's wrong with you. You're just compatible or you're not compatible. And so my question when I said, what is the reason? Why are you even needing to have boundaries? Because you're going to get to a point, you're going to get to a point in your life, in your growth, while you're growing, that your energy will be your boundaries.
Mm.
Words will not even have to be spoken. You will teach people how to, what to say to you, how to treat you with your energy. You walk into a room that's pitch black and you turn on the light, what happens? The darkness leaves. So it's really about, so know that you're getting to another place that words aren't even going to matter. The no thank you, you don't need them. You can come back if you want to. The no thank you, you won't even need to. One thing that Hakeem said earlier, I don't even know if he's still listening, but teaching people how to treat you. And that's not going to be an easy thing to do, but when you do, it's not teaching them, it's teaching and or training. It's just like having an animal, house training them. So it is about your energy. And when you get to a point, my dear, my youngster, because I'm going to be 67 on Thursday.
Well, yay. Happy birthday, and I was like, wait, that's a program.
No, but that's okay. But see, the program comes from the obligation that you have to say it. I have to say this, and I have to say it on this day. So I welcome all that. But getting back to you and this energy and what you're going to grow into this energy, and you are and you will grow into it, where words are not even going to be necessary for you. You can feel that.
Yes, I'm really good about feeling other people's energy, and we had some young Marines, and I don't know if it was programming, but like they were talking to me in a good way, and it was like, was it because of my energy? Was it because they were programmed? But it's like I've experienced that exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just show up and they treat you a certain way. I found it a lot of times with guys. They'll say, and they're like, oh my God, I'm sorry, and I'm like, cause I give off that energy that if they cuss, that they need to apologize. Is that an energy that I'm putting out?
Are you,
or is it a program?
Now, is that something you do have? You have a challenge with cussing?
I cuss all the time. I don't care if other people cuss. I'm not going to tell. I don't have a problem with it. That's
okay.
Nice. Like, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just using that as an example
of
certain ways I've experienced what you're talking about.
Okay, and so you see how the conversation, I didn't know exactly what you meant. And so that's what I'm talking about with this conversation. Sometimes it can turn into a little bit more than a simple can you help me conversation, and it's only because our individuality, if you use the word respect, then I have a different definition of that, or you use the word love, it's a different definition. But let me just get back to what you were talking about when you were saying your energy. And so your energy will dictate a lot of how someone else or a group will treat you or even approach you. And that comes with time also.
Yes. I don't know how to put my finger on it, but I've experienced exactly what you're talking about. When I have more confidence in myself and I'm having a good day, you just experience the world better and the way people approach you. But when I was in a really low spot in my life, I was talking to my friend about this yesterday. He's like, they treated you so bad. You know, they were walking all over you. And a part of myself was thinking, did I train them to do that?
No. And I'm going to give you a homework assignment. And your homework assignment is that was just your experience. That was an experience that you needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And know that whatever is happening is supposed to happen. And if it's not happening, it's not supposed to be happening. So I'm going to ask you a question. This is your homework assignment. When you talked about your lowest time or your lowest place and people were taking advantage of you and all of that, you know, the dregs, the bottom of the barrel. I want that your homework assignment is to come up with three great things or three ways that experience or that time in your life served you. And you don't have to do it now, but how did you benefit from being at your lowest point? Three specific things, and I'll give you an example. I was talking to someone at this Thanksgiving Day party, and I just met him, and he spent 17 years in prison. And I asked him the same thing. I said, well, what was good about 17 years in prison? And this gentleman had an answer, and he had an answer quickly. That's how you know that someone is introspective, they're aware, they have the ability to grow. He said, number one, I wasn't patient. I learned patience in prison. He said, number two, what did he say? Oh, he said, I was a follower. I wasn't a leader. So I learned how to lead myself before I was following. And what was the other thing? Oh, let me do this. And the other thing was, the third one, let's see, patience, leader. Oh, and the other thing that he said was that he was never grateful. So he learned gratitude. He learned how to lead himself. And he learned patience. And he said, I wouldn't have learned any of that if I didn't go to prison for 17 years.
And that's amazing. And I have been very introspective. I've thought about a lot about that time of my life and how can I take this low part of my life and how did that change me? How did that help me? One was to be empathetic towards people who are in a low spot themselves, because I've been there, right? I've been there. I've done that. The second one is that I learned how I didn't want to treat people. I saw the way people were treating me, and I was like, I vowed that I will never be that way, right? I knew I wasn't going to be that way in the first place, but, like, these are the actions that I do not want to emulate.
Mm.
If that makes sense. I didn't want to be, like, the way – they didn't want to talk the way they talked. They didn't want to treat the way the people they were treating. And the third way was I learned so much confidence, because I was very unconfident. That portion of my life, I grew because it challenged me to be more confident. Because everyone I was telling, I was kind of slouched over. I was looking down at the ground. And I had one guy ask me if I had a spinal problem. Oh,
serious. That's really funny.
It is funny. It's funny looking back on it. I kind of laughed. I'm like, well, that was weird. But it woke me up and said, if you're going to survive in this gun club, you need to put some confidence in the body. And I did exactly that. It showed me how to have confidence and to stand up for myself and for others who are at a disadvantaged point.
Wow. So now you came up with it. And you know, the interesting thing about just that whole practice is just looking and finding the good and looking for the good. I mean, really looking, because it's always there. And sometimes even if you don't see it right away, maybe you'll see it in a week or a month or maybe even a year. But whatever anybody is going through, especially if it feels horrible and it's a position that you rather not experience, know that there is something that you are growing. You will grow from that. It's there to serve you in some way, even if it feels like you're in the middle of hell.
Yes, it was really bad. And I learned from that, and I brought myself up by my bootstraps, and I was like, well, okay. And it started small, right? I was like, the biggest thing I had a problem with is an expectation that we have is that when you see someone of a higher rank, you say the proper greeting of the day. You say good morning, good afternoon, whatever. And I couldn't even say that because I thought I'd be yelled at because I did it wrong. And I said, what if I say it wrong? At least I said something. And I started there. And then I programmed and they're asked for some sort of programming that you have to do to survive the military.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was like, well, I can do this. And so it started there. And then it grew just from saying, good morning, sir, or good morning, staff sergeant, or whatever it was, right? And that's where it all started, with confidence. And I had a hard time talking with people of a higher rank. And what I realized, they're just people too. I can talk to anybody. As long as they have respect, tact, and good timing, I can talk to anybody.
And let me say this, and then because I'm going to end the show after this, but I really appreciate your contribution. And the other thing that I want to just kind of just point out, you've said a couple things about good day, bad day. Life is an experience without judgment. There is no such thing as a good day. There is no such thing as a bad day. It's just a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole programming of this is better, this is worse, this is good, this is bad, it starts with a label. It starts with labeling anything, and then once you get the label, all the labels require a judgment. So the
mm-hmm.
practice is to let go of the labels, good, bad, happy, sad, the labels. It is just an experience, and because we are human, we are going to feel a lot of different emotions. But the label of I feel this way, sad, I feel depressed, I feel anxious, I feel happy, I feel joyful, I feel connected, all of that is just I feel this in this moment. I feel this in this moment, period. The stories are all authored by the ego. The ego will tell you why you're feeling like this. The ego will give you a story because the ego always uses the word because. That's a favorite word of the ego. Because, and I'm here to tell you that tides come in, tides go out. Emotions come, emotions go. You are going to feel emotional. Just feel it and keep it moving. Attaching the story to why. One of my favorite teachers is Guy Finley. And Guy, this is his line. He says, "The feeling is real, but the why is a lie." I love that. The feeling is real, but the why is a lie. So just be, and you don't have to, but my practice is I'm feeling this way. I'm feeling like sitting in a chair all day. I'm feeling like exercising today or in this moment. I'm feeling like cooking. I'm feeling like writing. I'm feeling. Period. I'm feeling sad. No. I'm feeling happy. No. I'm just feeling. That's a practice. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it's really about just paying attention to and eliminating those programmed behaviors. And one of the programmed behaviors is, don't shoot me with an arrow. Assuming that you're wasting time or saying that you're wasting time. The illusion, the program of wasting time. I realize it in this life, you're human, you're only human form for a certain period of time. But you are conscious energy. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. You have a lot of time. Maybe not in this dimension, but you have a lot of time. Anyway, my practice is there is no such thing as me having the ability to waste time. I'm just in time, using time, spending time, but I'm not wasting time. I don't care what you're doing. At least that's my practice. Oh, look at this. One of the things that subtracts from happiness is using the word should. Well, I never use that. Lack of personal growth, being impatient, rushing, being rigid. That means closed-minded to any new beliefs, behaviors, and or ideas. And one of the things the people that I talked to today, Hakeem and also Jillian, is being open. Being open. And how about this? Practice, where did you get this belief in the first place? And is it true? I'm going to the Byron Katie work. Is it true? Are your beliefs true? So happiness is a practice skill. I don't even know how we got off the top. We did start with the topics of obligation and holidays. And it's not for everybody. I know that. Just like this path, this journey to happiness. And when I say this journey, it is a practice skill, and not everybody is into it. But as far as I'm concerned, life is going to happen. Life is going to throw fires. Life is going to throw ups and downs. Life is going to give me a roller coaster of incidences, a roller coaster of emotions, a roller coaster of feelings, a roller coaster of predicaments. And I'm either surrendering to all of them, accepting all of them, trusting that everything that I'm experiencing is there for a purpose, is there for my betterment, or I'm resisting. And you could spend your life doing either one. One of my favorite quotes is, you cannot have a happy ending to an... Wait, hold on. Oh, Lord, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. So all it is about the journey in every single moment. And what decision and what choice are you going to make in every single moment? What a show today. Where is my send-off? Well, I really appreciate you listening, my dear audience, and I love my guests today, the people that came on and commented. Hakeem learned a lot, especially about the programming. It's so cool to find someone that gets this programming thing, too. And also Jillian. Well, that's the end of today's show. I want to thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality Radio, which is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, LinkedIn, and Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My YouTube channel, I know everything is a work in progress. The YouTube channel and also the website is going to get updated. I just don't know when. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And then the one that I'm writing, it's taking me forever to write, but it's going to be finished whenever or not. It's called Program for Unhappiness. And so until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe, your conscious energy, which is the always evolving and always changing, always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself by accepting yourself wherever you find yourself in any place in the journey. Be your own best friend. And again, my quote, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist, inner peace practitioner, oracle, teacher, but more importantly, a student of the universe. Happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you'll find. And your experience in every moment while on this journey we call life, your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Good now.
Get real.
Good.
Get real.
Now,
get real.